Turn your Bibles, please, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50. Well, this morning we had Brother Jim to sing, "We're Marching to Zion." The song just in, that last song, spoke about Zion's holy hill. And this morning I want to attempt, God's help, to preach a message on the thought, marching to Zion. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 50, and we actually find the sermon thought in verse number 5, but I want to go ahead and read the first 5 verses of this chapter to give us hopefully an understanding of this entire context. The Bible says, "The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations, and publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not, say Babylon is taken, Baal is confounded, Meridat is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein, they shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten." You'll notice the first part of verse 5, which says, "They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward." Thus giving us the thought today, borrowing the words of that old hymn written by Isaac that says, "We're marching to Zion." Isaac Watts penned that song in the 1700s. And that song has to do with what we could also apply as referencing heaven among other things, but we'll talk about that this morning. We're marching to Zion. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning as we approach the throne of grace, we thank you today for the blessings that have already come our way in this service. We thank you today for the music and the Sunday school hour and the fellowship with your people in this congregation. We thank you today for all that you've done. Now, Heavenly Father, if there be someone here today that is not on their way to Zion, that has never had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb, I pray today, Heavenly Father, that they would be redeemed by the grace of God and join the army of the Lord that are marching onward to Zion. So, Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning the way I attempt to begin every sermon. I'd like to lay a little bit of the groundwork, maybe give a little bit of an introductory thought to help us to get the context of the verse that we're looking at for the particular day. Zion of old, when we think of Zion, Zion of old, above all others, above all other places, was where God chose to manifest himself. Zion was the name for Jerusalem, which appears over 100 times in the Old Testament. The Jews were in Babylon during the captivity, which forms the background of this text. But Babylon would fall, and the Jews would be permitted to return to their land. They would go back and rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple, as brought out in the 2 books of Ezra and Nehemiah. They would go back to Zion. They would return in tears, and they would go home repentant, as the verses that we've read indicate. You remember that Zion was Jerusalem. It was a place where the offerings of the sacrifices were permitted. The sacrificial animals were offered in the temple on Mount Zion. Zion was also the appointed place of public worship, where the tribes went up on the solemn feast days. Zion of old was a place of delightful fellowship. It was there that the Jews would meet their friends from the various other tribes, as the tribes would go up to Zion and sacrifices were offered. Zion was a place of rest. It was looked upon as the abode of peace. Those who dwelt there were under the spatial protection of heaven because God had His hand on Zion. Jerusalem was a city of the prophets. Jerusalem is a city of David, the city associated with the greatest sacrifice, namely that of God's Lamb. When we think of Jerusalem, we think of the Son of David. We think of the Lord Himself. We think of Calvary. We think of the crucifixion. So we could say today that Jerusalem is associated with the greatest sacrifice of all times, namely the sacrifice of God's Lamb. The church, incidentally, was born at Jerusalem. Zion too has been regarded as a picture of heaven. We sing songs about Zion. Zion gives to us the thought of heaven. Zion pictures heaven. Zion is a description, or rather a word that would describe the place where God's people will one day dwell. God's people make up the army of the Lord. God's people are soldiers of the cross. And soldiers are known to march. When we think about we're marching to Zion, the thought comes to my mind that God's people are headed towards heaven. That great song written by Isaac Watts says this, and we've sung it already. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. He is referencing the joy of heaven. Isaac Watts is not only referencing the joy of heaven, but he's also speaking of the spatial blessing that God's people even have upon this earth as they march toward heaven. You see, listen, here's a point that I know we preach it many times, but when it comes to joy, when it comes to the blessings, we're enjoying them this side of heaven too. We that are marching to Zion are already enjoying the blessings that God's given us. As we're marching to heaven, as we're heading to heaven, we're already being blessed and joyful for what God is doing right now in our lives. Zion is associated with a city. It's associated with a sacrifice. It's associated with worship, and it's associated with peace. When I think of Zion, I'm reminded of Calvary. I'm reminded of worship. I'm reminded of praise. I'm reminded of heaven. It's a reminder of the glorious time for the church. For the church will have a part in the holy city, New Jerusalem, which the book of Revelation says descends from God out of heaven. The church will have a part in the holy city, New Jerusalem. As Zion would speak of Jerusalem, let me say today, Zion, the place Zion, is tied in with sacrifice. It's tied in with worship. It's tied in with the thought of prophecy. Because Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, will be the place where God's people will enjoy during the millennium. We're marching to Zion. I hope every one of you today are on the march. I hope every one of you today are soldiers of the cross. I hope every one of you today can give experience to the words of that song. I hope every one of you today know that you have been enlisted as a soldier of the cross. We sing about a marching to Zion, but are you really marching to Zion? Or are you just singing the song? I'd much rather know the Savior than to sing the song. I'd much rather know what the song is saying by knowing the Savior. Let's think about this today. Here we have an inquiry concerning Zion. An inquiry. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. The road leads to Zion that they're talking about. These travelers, these Jews, these people that are in Babylon, they're tired of the other roads. They're tired of being in Babylon. They're tired of the captivity. They're tired of the misery. They're tired of the loneliness. They're tired of the despair. They are now inquiring about Zion. They're basically saying, I want to go home. I want to go to Zion. I want to go back to the city of our fathers, a city that God has, His name has published. Multitudes today are on roads of different sort. They're on roads that aren't leading to Zion. They're on roads today that are represented by misery. Many today are on roads of despair, roads without peace, roads that have a dead end to them, roads that will lead to an eternity without God, perhaps, and that's true of an unsaved person. But this road he's talking about is a way to Zion. They've been treading, many today have been treading the way that leads to hell. They have known, they have walked in pleasures and folly. They have walked the ways that are ways of disturbance and ways of no peace. But it's a blessing when some people start inquiring about the road to Zion, though. Many people have trampled down the road of self-righteousness, and they have run. They have walked the road of willful wickedness. The travelers on the road to Zion, though, they have some discontent about them. These Jews sure did. Don't you know that when they inquired about the road to Zion, they were tired of Babylon? Don't you know that they were anxious to get home? Don't you know that they were also mindful of their sins that caused them to be in the captivity? And by the way, Israel didn't just wind up in the captivity. There's a reason that put them there. They rebelled against God, didn't they? They committed idolatry. They committed sin. So they were taken away into captivity. You say to me today, and I hope some are saying this, I'm tired of being on the wrong road. I'm tired of being on the road of despair. I'm tired of misery and unhappiness. I'm tired of loneliness. I'm tired of despair. I'm tired of sin. Well, hopeful today, the Holy Spirit will put your mind and eyes on Zion. You'll get to thinking about heaven. You'll get to thinking about the road to Zion. That would be a blessing, you know. Many people have said, I've tried things in this world and nothing satisfied me. I've tried worldly ambition. I've tried fame. I've tried prosperity. I've tried a host of other things. But I find myself today in a place of loneliness and despair, and my life is not right. I'm not happy. I'm not content. There's a fear looming over me when I have to die. Well, today you've come to the right place. You've come to a church where the gospel is being preached. You've come to a place today where your road can be rerouted. You can find direction today, and you can join the others that make up this crowd and say, I'm marching to Zion, beautiful city of Zion. But here's the point. Too many people are confused about how to get on that road to Zion. You don't get on it by physical birth. You don't get on it by baptism. You don't get on that road by ceremonial process. Only the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God gets you on the road to Zion. These travelers here in Jeremiah 50, they're inquiring the way to Zion. They're inquiring about it, which leads me to say this. The way to Zion is not a way of presumption, but a deliberate way. These Jews knew where to go. These Jews knew where home was. These Jews knew what the direction was that would take them to Zion, because their faces, using the word here, was thitherward. Their faces were looking in that direction. Here's a thought. Do you know that no one blunders their way into heaven? No one. They don't get there accidentally. You don't get to heaven accidentally. You do not. Now, many people, by the way, go to hell on account of neglect, but no one goes to heaven by neglect. It's a deliberate way. It's a thought-out way. It's a way that's sketched and drawn out and made possible by the Savior. It's a way made possible by the one who is the way. John 14:6. What a blessing to run across inquirers. People that say, what's the way to Zion? It's what the verse says. People that say, that are asking for the way to Zion. I tell you, I've never, perhaps in my whole life, ever been blessed anymore when you run into people, and it seemed like I don't run into too many anymore. Like it used to be when I started out in ministry. It seems to me, as I look back, it seems like in years ago there used to be more inquirers after Zion than what you see today. You see many people today that think they're automatically on the road. But thank God when people, they get tired of walking the wrong way, the broad way that leads to destruction, and they start thinking about, I want on the right way that gives me peace and joy and will take me to heaven. Have you ever thought about this? And I really didn't see this until I studied it out. You remember in the Bible, the case of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, it's an interesting thought. Do you know where that eunuch had been before he ran in to Philip? He had already been to Zion. He had been to Jerusalem for religious worship. He was coming back from Zion. Now, here this text is talking about going to Zion. Well, the eunuch had already been to Zion. He was returning from Zion. But there was something missing, wasn't there? He got involved in a little bit of worship in Zion, but he didn't have anything in his heart. And the Bible proves that. He's riding in his chariot. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And God told Philip, he said, see that man out there, so to speak? You get to him. You get to him. You have something to tell him. And Philip runs and catches up the chariot. In my mind, I'm thinking now, that's amazing. I suppose this. Okay, here's the only conclusion I can draw. If chariot races were popular in that day, Philip must have had the fastest chariot to catch up with that guy that's in that chariot. Well, he catches him. Man invites him to come up into the chariot. And then Philip asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, how can I accept some man should guide me? That eunuch had already been to Jerusalem, but he didn't get the guidance he needed. What he got was formality. What he got was simply religion. What he got was ceremony. What he got was all to the pomp and ceremony, but he didn't get the real deal. So he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And Philip then goes into gear. Philip said, by the way now, that passage of Scripture that you're reading, let me help you with it. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes were healed. The eunuch is reading that. I can imagine now that Philip is looking at the eunuch and looking at the passage of Scripture. And Philip then begins to explain. He said, "You're reading, Mr. Eunuch, from an Old Testament passage, are you not? But Mr. Eunuch, let me tell you what that passage is all about. That passage is all about Christ. That passage is all about Him dying. That passage is all about Him being wounded for our transgressions. That passage is all about His substitutionary work." And then as they keep talking, Philip then can see a gleam coming in that man's eyes. He begins to get it. He begins to understand. And the light of salvation is turned on in that man's soul. Now they keep having a little fellowship. This time they have some Christian fellowship. They're talking about the Lord. They're walking with God. They're enjoying the Lord. And then that eunuch, as the chariot keeps going, I still wonder what happened to Philip's background. As the chariot keeps going, by, I think it said he run to it. I think that's what it said. He was fast then. But anyway, they're driving along. There's a little body of water over there. "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" the eunuch asked Philip. Then Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Amen. And then Philip, which all Christians ought to do this, Philip goes down in the water with that eunuch. He baptizes him. Baptism means to dip or to plunge, not to sprinkle. Dip or plunge, that's what the word means. He put him under the water, brought him out of the water. So he baptized him. And then the Bible says that old eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And that's what happens when you get started on the road to Zion. That eunuch had been to Zion and nothing happened. But now while coming to Zion, he starts going back to Zion in the right way. That's what happened. He now is marching to Zion. So now returning to our text, we see that we see here that thought. This inquiry here proves that these Jews are anxious. They don't mind asking again and again, I believe. I believe they keep on asking the way to Zion. They're like that old man that keeps on knocking on the door, that knock of importunity found in the New Testament. Then we see the determination concerning Zion. The Bible says their faces, note this, their faces are thitherward. We don't use that word very often. In fact, I don't know the last time we ever used it. Thitherward. That's a good word. Thitherward. How many of you have ever used that word? Just as I figured. Only time I've ever used it when I'm preaching and reading it right here. Their faces were in the destination of their travel. That's where their faces. In other words, say Jerusalem was that way. They're looking that way. Do you know, here's a thought. When God saves us, we're not backward any longer. We're faceward. Check that word out. You won't find it in dictionary. That's a new one. We're not backward. We're faceward. You see, He's faceward. The people are now faceward. They're looking towards Zion. Not backward, faceward. An illustration. If I want to go to California, and Ann's daughter and family, that's where they're from now. They're here today. How did y'all get to North Carolina? You came east, didn't you? You didn't go west, I'm certain. If you'd gone west, you'd be over in Hawaii, I guess. If I want to go to California, I go west with my face in that direction. I wouldn't travel to California in reverse. I'd go forward. Now, those heading towards heaven have their faces turned in that direction, and the glow is on their faces. Those asking about Zion and traveling on the road to Zion when I get to heaven, well, I won't have a crack at the devil because he's sentenced to the lake of fire throughout eternity, but I'd like to smack him one time myself, for every time I try to preach, I get messed up in this old whatever sets in, I can't get it out. I'd love to smack him one time. Those asking about Zion here are traveling on the road to Zion, convinced in the city of Zion. These travelers here, they're not mocking, they're not skeptics, they're not atheists, they're not agnostic. They know for sure that Zion is real. And so do we. They know that they've come from the city of destruction. They have been into captivity. And like Abraham, and that's where the Christian is today, we've come from the city of destruction. We're marching to Zion. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have people today that scoff at the idea of God. They mock the Bible. They mock the fact of having eternal life. They do not believe in heaven. They mock the Bible. They blaspheme the name of God. They spew out bitterness in their hatred towards God and His people. Mark it down. They're not travelers to Zion. No one traveling to Zion is an atheist, a mocker, an agnostic, or a skeptic. Travelers on the road to Zion are blessed. They're assured. They walk with purpose. They are leaving the old road of sin. They are walking on the new path of righteousness. They are now on the path of life. You'll like this. They're on the 1611 path. Now here's what you're thinking. You're thinking King James. That's okay, but I'm thinking of a verse. They're on the 1611 path. Try this out. Chew on this. Psalm 1611. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You and I that are marching to Zion are on the Psalm 1611 path today. It's a path of life. It's the presence of God with the fullness of joy. It's the road that will one day have pleasures evermore. It's a road one day that will lead to a place where there will be no sin, there will be no sorrow, there will be no sickness, there will be no pain. That's a place of blessing. We're on the Psalm 1611 path, Zion marchers. That's where we are. Here's something else that you don't want to miss. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I feel a Baptist shout coming on right now. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Mark tells us that when Jesus died, he ascended, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to know where my pleasures evermore lie? They don't simply lie in heaven. They don't simply lie in the city of Zion. They lie in the one who is at the right hand. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I associate my pleasures forevermore. I associate my salvation. I associate my joy with the one that's at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's in Him. Joy is in Him. Real pleasures are in Him. They're all in Him. If we didn't have Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have life, would we? Amen. He's everything. He's all. And then we come finally today, the blessing associated with Zion. You know, the Bible says a lot about Zion. Just a few quick thoughts, and we'll head on out of here. Bible says in Psalm 149, verse 2, let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful and her king. You and I, in a spiritual application sense, are the children of Zion. and we're joyful in Him. What about Isaiah 149 verse 2? Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You and I are the children of Zion. We're joyful in their king. And let me just give just a little thought here today. Let that joy resonate in all that we do. I say to all of us today, when we come to church, think about it today. We're the children of Zion. You find joy associated with Zion. Let's show that joy. Let's show it here at this church. Let's show it when we sing. Let's sing out. Let's pick up the tempo. Let's put more volume when we sing. I challenge the choir even. Remember now, you're singing the songs of Zion. And sing them like they're in your heart. Oh, I'm telling you so much about this. Worship and praise is associated with Zion. Now, is Zion your destination today? Are you inquiring about that wonderful place? I hope you are. John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you into myself, that where I am there you may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You've heard that many times, but it's true. By the way, in the book of Revelation, I've quoted it already, the holy city, New Jerusalem, descends down from heaven, down out of, from God out of heaven. The saints of God will be associated with it. Would to God now, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you would inquire about Zion. Would to God today you'd be thinking about Zion. You'd be thinking, I'd like to get on the road to Zion. The way to Zion is through the one who is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So again, the text says, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces to the word. And I trust today you will too. If you're not a traveler, if you're not marching towards Zion, may today you do that. You don't want to miss it. You need to be saved. Let's bow our